story goes, a little Catholic boy invited a little Baptist kid or Presbyterian kid to come to his church one day. And so after the service and everything, the Presbyterian kid was asking the Catholic kid, what did this mean and what does that mean and how come we stand up and kneel and all this kind of stuff. So the Catholic child is trying to explain the elements of worship to the little Presbyterian kid. A few weeks later, the Presbyterian kid invites the Catholic child to come to church with him to see how we do things. And so they went through the service and everything. So he was asking questions, and he said, do you understand what was going on this morning? And he said, I think so. He said, but there is one thing that I'm not quite sure of. What does it mean when the preacher takes his watch off and puts it in his pocket? The Presbyterian kid said, absolutely nothing. It means nothing. I stand before you today as someone who lost his focus over the last several months. Okay? But I want to read something to you that is in your bulletin, and it says, Philippians 4:8 in the King James Version, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. John Maxwell, in his best-selling book, Think on These Things, is quoted here. It says, what occupies your mind and what you think means more than anything else in your life. Okay? I'm a man. I'm a fixer. I'm in control of stuff. Not recently. Because it just seemed like since April, when my mom passed away, I was just losing control of things. And what you are about to hear about this time yesterday, I had decided that I wasn't going to preach this sermon until I had to come to Jesus meeting with my wife, and she kind of set me straight. So here we go. Let's look at this first slide. There we go. All righty. This is Matthew chapter 14, and it tells us the story that Christy just shared about with the children. It says in verse 22, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. And after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray, and night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, or the fourth watch, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. And in their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once and said, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." We're going to come back to that phrase in a minute. Then Peter called to him, "Lord," let me stop right here and say, Peter is one of my Bible heroes, but I can relate to Peter because sometimes I say things before I think. Can any husband relate to that? Okay, all right. Then Peter called to him and said, "Lord, if it's really you," okay, I'll get that in a minute, "tell me to come to you, walking on the water." Jesus said, "Yes, come." So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards him. But when he saw the strong winds and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. And immediately Jesus reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped, and the disciples worshipped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. as if they hadn't already figured this out by now. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for what you're going to show us right now. And I pray that the words that we hear this morning will not be mine, but they will be yours. And I pray for your spirit to settle on this place like it never has before. In your name we pray. Amen. This was seen on a church sign not too long ago. That particular Sunday morning, they're going to be preaching on Jesus walking on the water. Sunday night sermon is they're going to be searching for Jesus. Now, the problem is I think that this particular congregation didn't quite realize what was going on here. Of course, it's a play on words. Yes, he can walk on water, and yes, we are searching for him. But to see that on the same church sign just made me laugh out loud. I'm sorry. All right, here we go. Here's the background on where we are leading up to lessons from the Word here. John the Baptist has just been beheaded. And the disciples and some of these disciples that had sent that had been ministering to were part of John's following. And they really hadn't had time to grieve. They have just fed the 5,000 and gathered up the 12 baskets and everything. But they're still waiting to see and to proclaim the king. He's just fed 5,000 people. And they're still waiting to see it. Okay. When he says, "Get out of the boat and come to me," the Greek is actually quite forceful, because the word "come to me" is similar to the word where he compelled the disciples to get away. Okay? "Come to me" was a soft statement. When he compelled the disciples to get away, he was basically mandating and commanding them, "You guys need to go rest. And this is not an option. You need to go do this." While they are away, he's praying. But Jesus is genuinely concerned about the welfare of his disciples. And they needed to rest after everything had happened. So he sends them ahead, away from the crowd and the demands. He sends them ahead so that the demands of the ministry, which had drained them recently, all the pressure can just be relieved. Somehow you need to get away from things. Somehow you need to let go of things sometimes. This is what Jesus was asking them to do. Secondly, they obeyed, and in obeying him, they came face to face with a storm. A lot of times when we let go of stuff, a storm happens. This is where they were. And then thirdly, they thought Jesus had forgotten about them. But in reality, he was over here on the side of the mountain praying for them. Okay? That's a little bit of the context here. Let's see what we have in lessons from the Word this morning. First of all, in verse 24, it tells us that the disciples were in trouble, far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. They had a storm. A storm had happened on the sea there. Just didn't realize what was going on. Jesus comes walking on the water. He's not recognized. They didn't realize at this time in their ministry with him that Jesus would come to them. Same as today. Jesus is always pursuing us. We are the ones who may be wandering away from him. One of the greatest phrases in Scripture, I believe, is when he says in verse 27, "I am here." And that "I am" goes back to Moses' time when he asked God, "Who do I tell Pharaoh sent me?" And God said, "You tell him that I am." See, he'll understand. Have we missed Jesus passing by? Listen to what this says right here. Matthew tells us that it was about the fourth watch, or about 3 a.m. But however, in a corresponding passage, Mark 40, chapter 6, verse 48 tells us that he was about to pass them by. Matthew doesn't include this, but it will help us to understand, I think, if we look at the context here. What Mark is telling us is that as Jesus was passing him by, with our understanding of the English language, we assume he was going to walk past them. I am passing them by. Okay? But what was really happening here was to pass them by is an Old Testament phrase pointing to the self-revelation of God. When God wanted to reveal himself to Moses, he hid in the cleft of his rock as the glory of the Lord passed by. Same thing happened with Elijah. God hid in a cleft of the rock and passed by. So Mark points out the fact that the reason Jesus is walking on the water was to reveal who he was to his disciples. He wasn't going to leave them. He was going to come to them. Listen to what Job 9:8 says. He alone has spread out the heavens and marches on the waves of the sea. I don't know if this is a direct prophecy for what Jesus has just done that is recorded in Matthew and Mark here, but the Old Testament scripture tells us he marches on the sea. He's not going to pass them by. Let's look at the boat for a minute. We've seen boats, we've seen the big cruise ships, and we've seen the little paddle boats at different places and everything. Let's think about the boat for a minute. One, is there safety in the boat? And number two, is there safety in numbers? And number three, is there safety in Jesus? All right, let's think about this for a minute. In verse 29, Jesus tells Peter, yes, come. So Peter, doing before he thinks, again, this kind of leads up to things come out of Peter's mouth before he thinks sometimes. I know that's never happened to any husbands in here today where you say something before you think about it. Can I get an amen on that? Okay. Wives, you can scold them later if they said anything. All right, here we go. Jesus says, come, and Peter obeys. It took faith and courage on Peter's part to climb over the side of the boat. Okay? We're not told how far he walked before he started to sink. We'll come to that sinking thing in a moment. But let's think for a minute about what he has just done. Okay? First of all, you cannot walk on water. It is impossible. Okay? You're going to look kind of foolish. You're going to get a little bit wet. It is dangerous what he's stepping out into. So the safe thing to do would be to stay in the boat. He's needed in the boat. Peter was probably a strong man with all the fishing and stuff that he had done, so he was probably needed in the boat. And yet, you're putting too much faith in some ghost out here standing on the water saying, come on. But that ghost standing on the water happens to be the great I am. Peter had the faith and the courage to get out of the boat. So my question to us now is, are we safer in the boat or are we safer out of the boat? Let's look at the boat for a moment again. There's only one reason that Jesus got out of the boat, that Peter got out of the boat, and it was because Jesus said, come on. He was the only disciple to get out of the boat. Now, what about Peter? Peter's lack of faith is not the focus of the story. And I know that we have heard this story all of our life in church, and we look at Peter getting out of the boat, and then he failed. Peter's failure and lack of faith is not the focus, okay? But Peter's obedience is overwhelming. That is the focus of the story. Okay, we're going to get to that sinking part in just a minute. I promise we're getting there. Peter is the only disciple to walk on the water. And why is that? Because he's the only one that got out of the boat. Sometimes we have to get out of the boat in the middle of the storm, focus on Jesus. Because sometimes when we're in the boat and the storm's going around and we have all these distractions, that's all we ever see are the distractions. So what's the main thing? The main thing right here is, what is your focus? Now we have a little story time. On April the 25th, as all of you know, my mom passed away. I told Chris yesterday when I was in the middle of a horrendous meltdown with some other things that had been going on. Sarah had a wreck back in May coming home from school, got the car fixed. They had some other issues that they had to fix. So we take it about 2.5 or 3 weeks ago to the collision center again, get it fixed. And I've been calling every day. Or something that would take about 2 or 3 hours to get done, they've had it about 3 weeks. So I decided Friday evening I was going to go get it. So Hunter and I get up, and we go to breakfast, we go to the collision center. It's not there. So we leave the little collision center, and we walk across the parking lot into the service area, and they said, it's not here. Must be at the dealership. Okay. So we drive up to the dealership over here on 52 and Houston Street. It's not there. First thought is, how do you lose a car? And my second thought was, okay, what do we need to do here? So I called the service manager from the collision center, got his voicemail on his cell phone. His first mistake was giving me his cell phone number. His second mistake was not returning my calls. Wait till Tuesday. I may need to call some of you guys to come get me out of jail tomorrow morning, but that's okay. So in the meantime, we are figuring out, okay, well, Sarah needs a new thing on her engine and new hose. So I'm going to go to Advance Auto and I'm going to purchase these things so we can put them on after everything gets done. They said, yes, sir, we can have it for you 4 to 5 days. And I looked at the guy and I said, you're an auto parts store. I got to wait on my part. Well, in the meantime, Hunter gets a new Jeep Monday a week ago. Hunter has a wreck the following Friday. I'm just airing all the dirty laundry. All right. So, we say the hood latches, when the wreck happened, the hood latches on his popped off. I said, okay. I said, well, why you got your screen up? I need to get 2 hood latches for $1,000. I'm thinking, this is going to be, goes on, be okay. He said, I've got one. I said, there's 2 latches. Okay, I'll take it. Things to make a preacher cuss, we will talk about next week. So, I'm driving down the road, going home. My dad calls. Now, I've already talked to my dad on Saturday morning early. Discussed all the football games that happened. Then he calls me again, and he is upset because mom has died. I can make And I love talking to my dad. But this not the best time for me to talk. So I come walking in. I had been over here at the church things, trying to get ready for today. I walked in, laid my stuff down before your table. Preacher's coming down the steps. I'm running up the steps. And she turns around very quickly and goes into the bedroom, and I slam the door. And then I break. The comfort of your home is where the comfort of your home is where your children are safe and their friends are safe in your home. What's your focus? I can honestly stand before you this morning and tell you I have no idea what mine is. Because all this stuff that I cannot control, I'm trying to control. Is that not dumb? It's okay to laugh, because I laughed at myself all day yesterday trying to figure out what's going on with me. Chris is the pharmacist, and I said, now I want to ask you, I want to be as transparent as I can. Do I need to be on medication? There's some people in my life that I believe need to be on medication, but I'm just thinking this. And so then she does what she does best. She says, what do you think you need to be? I don't know. But then she said, you aren't. I wear a bracelet on my right arm for esophageal cancer patients, because my best friend died 2 years ago. His phrase during the whole time that he was sick was, God's got this. I look at it every day. I read it every day. Some days I don't believe it, though. But I'm going to tell you, folks, my focus was not where it's supposed to be. But if we go to this next point right here, Peter's focus was on Jesus. And that's where the focus needs to be. You're still going to be in a storm. You're still going to have distractions. But it's going to be a whole lot easier to face them when you're focusing on Him instead of everything going on. Peter's focus was on Jesus. But when he looked at the storm, he lost his focus. I've been looking at a storm for the past 4 months and lost my focus. We knew my mom was going to die. We just didn't realize it was going to be this quick. And it affected me far worse than I thought it would, even though we knew she was sick and we knew her time was coming. But it affected me even more. And yesterday was the first day that came out of my mouth. Getting the focus back. Here's the heart of the passage for us this morning. We cannot grow in our relationship with Jesus unless we get out of the boat. There may be safety there, but Jesus isn't in the boat. And we have to experience that walking on the water. And we have to experience that drowning thinking feeling. Walking on the water is easy when everything's going good. But when we get into that storm and we see that storm and we start sinking, that's when we cry out for help to the great I Am. Four things I want us to remember this morning. The first one is, obedience does not guarantee that we will escape adversity, as we know. People that we love dearly are going to pass away. People that we love dearly are going to disappoint us. People that we love dearly, we are going to hurt. We are still going to have adversity. And obedience may, in fact, lead us through some severe storms. Notice I put through some severe storms. I'm not staying in this storm forever. Just like in Psalms 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm coming out on the other side eventually. Last thing is, when all of this happens and we have the adversity and we have those severe storms in our life, when all that happens, remember this, Jesus will pass by us. Not to ignore us. Father, your love is definitely amazing. Your love consumes us when we make you mad. Your love consumes us when you need to comfort us. Your love consumes us when we cry out to you. It's your love. Father, this morning, we want our focus to be on you. We want our focus to be not on the distractions around us or the storms that we are in the middle of. We want our focus to be on you. Because as long as our focus is on you, you will get us through those storms. God, we love you so much. Forgive me now for losing focus, for looking at the waves, wind, storm. And help me every day focus on you. In your name we pray. Please stand.